Next on BYUSN, almost in Ames. How are all of us feeling after BYU basketball's frustrating loss at Iowa State? We'll have our weekly segment with ESPN's Sean Farnham and ask him about his feelings on Cougar basketball. Where did it go wrong for BYU last night on the road? And what are the best potential matchups for BYU at the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City?
Softball star center fielder Violet Zavodnik previews the softball season and the start of Big 12 play today against Texas Tech. And Top 5 Thursday features the best wins of the men's basketball season. We were hoping to add Iowa State to the list.
Time? We've got plenty of time. Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, March 7th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who can explain Cosmos Churros, Jerem Jordan.
I can? Okay. The Big 12 tournament is going to feature school-specific foods, and BYU's is Cosmos Churros, a caramel or caramel filled churro topped with sweet cream drizzle, mini marshmallows, cinnamon sugar, and toffee crumble.
Okay, it sounds delicious.
That sounds delicious. Why is it not a Cougar Tail?
That's a great question.
Why is it not a Cougar Tail?
The churro sounds delicious in and of itself, but the one item that is BYU at a sporting event is the Cougar Tail, is it not?
Then Hans Olsen tweeted his Big 12 menu ranking. The Cosmo Churro comes at number 5.
Okay,
comes
where, at number 5. BYU could be in the tournament. For
the
that
brisket loaded tots. Hard to argue against that at number 1 from TCU. I like that a lot.
Of course, Hans would pick brisket
as
number 1, 2, and 3.
Yes. Pork tacos at 11? Wow. Onion burger? Listen, I think I'm going to try every single one of these, Smith.
You should.
I'll do my best. Hopefully, BYU is there.
Maximize the event.
Hopefully, BYU is there long enough for me to get to all of them. That is the hope, because we're talking lunch and dinner. I ain't going for breakfast.
Yeah, I love Hans, but guess what? When he found out that he could eat at Bam Bam's Barbecue after certain victories for BYU football, I've never seen him more excited.
Wow, you have a lot of energy from 1 a.m. Yeah.
Yes, Hans, you do.
That's weird.
Brisket makes total sense from him.
Yes, it does.
For sure try the Cosmo Churro at least.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah,
how
I'll
it
give
is.
It a try, and then I'll complain about how it's still not a Cougar Tail.
Yeah. Totally fair point. All rise and shout. We have a little complaining to do here. Let's get to what's trending.
BYU is not afraid. They don't back down to anybody.
Gilbert will float in. Hall for 3. Yes.
Then what about Richie?
Got it and 1.
Oh, Curtis Jones, this is so deep.
Lipsy, got it. Cyclones get it done 68-63.
BYU watches a 14-point second half lead diminish in one of the toughest places to play in the Big 12. They fall short at number 6, Iowa State, 68-63. So many levels to this game. Ultra high highs, really frustrating lows when the game finished for BYU. So, Jerem, how are you feeling about last night's loss to Iowa State now that you've had a little bit of time to digest it?
Nice, based on the Big 12 food. It's two thoughts here. One is, hey, listen, BYU wasn't supposed to win this game anyway. They competed really well. Bummer to lose it, blah, blah. The second is, oh, shoot, BYU was up 14.
What could have been?
The win for the taking. Could have got up to the 4 seed in Lenardi possibly with a huge win. This would have been the biggest win of the season. Iowa State, like Gonzaga in 2017's home record would have been spoiled. BYU spoiled Kansas's home record last week, the undefeated. It's tough. Okay, so BYU played a tremendous defensive game, Spencer. Let me give you a number. 0.958 points per possession allowed is tied for third best in Big 12 play. It's the same number BYU gave up at Kansas. So why didn't BYU win? Because they didn't execute down the stretch. Didn't score the last 424, had 3 consecutive turnovers in under a minute and a half, and then unfortunately Dallin Hall's 3 doesn't hit rim there.
Yeah.
Tough situation for Dallin. He's a good player. All the Dallin Hall haters came out last night.
Good grief.
I don't agree with that level of hate. Dallin's a really good player. Now, twice now, Utah and Iowa State, he's had a tough situation there at the end, turning it over in a critical moment. He's had great other moments, too.
Several.
Highlighted by Kansas, among many others. So let's not act like the only thing Dallin has done is turned it over at the end of the game. That's not true. He's awesome. But this was one that got away. Because BYU's up 14 in the second half. Richie Saunders, amazing game, 20 points.
Incredible first half.
And given that he's enemy number one with Iowa State, given the interaction in Provo where he just a guy got frustrated and hit him, there was a chance to win this game. And if BYU had won this game, they could have been the four and had a double bye potentially if they beat Oklahoma State and things shake out right. So that was tough to swallow. But I'm not overly discouraged because I think a shot was fired.
Yeah, you shouldn't be.
Not only at Kansas, but in this game where it was like, okay, we didn't win, but we're here.
Everybody knows that BYU is dangerous,
yes,
even after last night's game.
And what BYU stunk from three in the second half, 2 of 15. What if BYU's 4 of 15,
they win
Spencer?
They could win the game. Jerem, that is where my biggest issue lies. Everybody wants to point because of how the game finished, and it's the last thing in your mind, and you're just frustrated because BYU went 3 empty possessions late in the game. It's like, oh my gosh.
That was rough.
That, it stings super bad for sure. The clear biggest issue to me of why BYU lost this game was they were unable to hit open shots in the second half. They had several great looks from the three-point line the second half that did not go down. How many times do we have to tell you? 10 threes and 32% or better from three is essentially a guarantee for BYU to win the game. It's not 100%, but it's pretty stinking close.
It's close.
They're 20-2 when they make at least 10 threes, and it's 32% shooting from the three-point line or better. BYU had made six.
10-plus is 20-2 as well?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Wow. I believe so.
It's the same one?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'll look, baby, because I'm interested.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Okay?
16-3. Okay. That's still good.
16-3.
With 10-plus.
But it's 32% that's 20-2.
Yes.
Okay.
Pick your metric.
Either way, like, those are winning numbers for BYU. BYU had made 6 threes at halftime. It was awesome, right? I didn't expect BYU to make 6 or 7 in the second. I was like, oh, they'll cool down a little bit. But I did expect them to make at least 4.
More than 2.
10.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I did expect them to be above 32% when, you know, all was said and done.
Second half, obviously.
That did not happen.
25 points. Iowa State's an amazing defense. We talked about it.
They speed you up. That's what they do.
And BYU played into that to where the help comes and you find the open shooter.
You got to make those shots.
You got to make those shots. 20-2, 0-8 when under 32%. Like, BYU has yet to win a game when not shooting at least 32%. So my concern there is, Spence, if that's not going, what can you do to win a game? Because right now BYU has not. They got to the free throw line, 11 of 16, 12 of 18 for Iowa State. There's a couple front ends there that are missed that are disappointing, certainly. So maybe you get to the line a couple more times, maybe 20 times instead of 16, and that helps you. BYU was plus 10 in boards. That's typically a pretty good number for BYU as well. There was one possession that kind of typified this game where I think it was like a Jackson missed three, and then maybe a Richie missed three, and then it was like a Trevin Nell made three or something.
Finally made it.
Like that third one. I can't remember who was involved exactly, but BYU is still playing above expectation. It's disappointing not to win given you're up 14 in the second half. BYU now has the 17-point loss at Texas Tech and this one that kind of hurt. Those two games, if you can finish those games, we're talking about 3 or 4 seed.
Yeah.
But you can't just win every game you're up big. Because then you could argue, well, then you're supposed to lose the game where you're down 17 against TCU or 12 against Kansas.
No, momentum Sports and happen. Flow are a real thing.
Life happens. So you can't win every one of those or just lose the ones where you're up big. But certainly those two games stick out because this BYU team is really good, man. They sent a message whether they won or lost in the way they
100%.
Played. And it's annoying, you know, at the end that BYU doesn't finish it off. But, hey, I'm feeling good going into Oklahoma State and then into the Big 12 tournament. BYU can be dangerous. And BYU did it where they shot 28% from three. BYU almost won this game not shooting well.
Jerem, they make one more three.
Hey,
if they make one more three, one more. Then maybe they win. Two
right?
for sure.
Right?
We're talking about one more make.
That would have been 31%. Would have been under the number. It would have been the first win sub 32.
You needed two more. And they
you
got
could have tied
looks.
The game late.
I'll right? take my chances every time with this team too. Like I like the majority of those shots. Some of them were rushed in the second half for sure, but that's what Iowa State does. They speed you up. Most of the shots in the second half were pretty good looks. And with this team, I'll take it. They just didn't drop. And that's unfortunate, but that's how the game goes sometimes. And head coach Mark Pope spoke about the three-point shooting, specifically in the second half, last night.
I like the looks we got a lot. So I liked it. You know, I like the looks we got. I like that we're, you know, our goal is 14 offensive rebounds a game, and we got them. And, you know, it's just the nature of shooting the ball a little bit. I actually didn't think it was the – it's not the makes and misses. We'll live with 8 for 29. I'd like to be over 30 is really important for us. But with the 14 offensive rebounds, that's really good numbers for us. It's the 17. It's the 17 turnovers that – that got us. And down the stretch, it was the turnovers. You know, we come down, you know, 3 out of 5 possessions and just turn the ball over in the last, you know, 2 minutes of the game.
Iowa State's second in the country in turnover percentage defensively.
That's 17 turnovers.
But a few of those felt self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Fuses travel late, self-inflicted.
Certainly.
Lipsy kind of reaches in on Hall. Ball goes off of Dallin's foot. It goes out of bounds. That's tough. Fran Fraschilla epitomize kind of what we've been talking about here in the segment, by the way. Many were excited about Houston coming into the Big 12 Conference. This is after the loss, by the way. But BYU men's basketball is icing on the cake. Fran gets it, that despite the loss, shot fired, whatever level of moral victory you want to associate with this great, we always think it's negative. But the point is that teams understand that BYU is a real threat. Like, can BYU make a run in the tournament next week? We'll see, man. They only really need one win. We'll ask Sean Farnham coming up, like, is one win the minimum threshold for BYU in the Big 12 tournament? Certainly you've got to beat Oklahoma State on Saturday to secure what we think could be the 5 seed. If they lose, now we're talking about something a little weirder, which we'll get to more tomorrow, what the possibilities are there. But I'm not overly discouraged. Like, the encouraged, discouraged thing, I'm a little encouraged, obviously disappointed that BYU didn't win the game.
Being frustrated.
But all good. I'm okay.
Is different than being, like, discouraged, right?
Yeah.
BYU is dangerous in every single potential matchup they could have, starting with Oklahoma State on Saturday night and whatever they face in Kansas City.
Yes.
Nobody wants to play BYU. Yes. Nobody wants to play BYU.
Who wants to play a team that shares the ball, that defends well, and that shoots a three like BYU? BYU is the classic March Madness Cinderella kind of team.
Yes, they are.
Except
built.
They're in the Big 12, so they ain't no Cinderella. They're already at the ball.
They know. Like, they got the invitation. It's on the way in the mail. And
in the tourney, they're sort of hosting the party, especially if it's in Salt Lake.
Listen, I know most BYU fans are upset because it feels like, in their opinion, that BYU gave it away more than Iowa State earned it, especially late in the game. That is always difficult to handle. Like, when you feel like, we gave it away.
On the road with that crowd, I would argue Iowa State did a lot of good,
100%.
Right? Like, they're 100%. At home. They're the number 6 team.
But the fan, the fan last night, at least what I gathered, was BYU gave the game. They choked it away. It's like, Iowa State does things to make you speed up and turn the ball over. It's how they're
built. Did BYU earn the TCU comeback, or did TCU give it up? Like, BYU was at home. You know
home
what I mean?
Matter. Home court matters in this conference, maybe more than in any other conference in America.
I think it's
percentages.
It's crazy.
I think, like, they show that is the case in the Big 12. So that's tough.
Yeah.
The second thing with Dallin Hall, he is still that dude. He is that dude. Have you seen BYU's offense in large part when Dallin Hall is not on the floor? It does not work.
The no Dawson Baker thing's a big deal.
It does not,
in that situation.
Dallin Hall makes the offense go. You talk to Mark Pope, he will tell you, like, he is the key cog in making the offense go. Like, he has the ball in his hands so much so that, he's going to have some critical turnovers in critical times, but he's also going to make some unbelievable plays, which he has done more than the unfortunate circumstance last night. He's still that dude, and he's only a sophomore.
And that's part of the deal. When you're younger, you know, things happen. He's going to grow from that. We're going to look back in the next 2 years and be like, dude, remember the Dallin Hall that made the Kansas shot and made this end of it, and the Iowa State Utah. He's learned from that and become like a second team All Conference guy in this league. Are you kidding me?
He's a special player. Okay, special player, still relatively young in his career. Our question of the day: how are you feeling about BYU's loss to Iowa State? At Rye_O_1 on X says, sad that BYU didn't pull it off. There was hope.
Yep.
But we, as fans, should be optimistic that BYU had a lead and only lost by 5 in one of the toughest environments in the country to number 6. It was loud in there last night. BYU was not, I didn't feel significantly impacted by the crowd, per se, as much as they were about just the Iowa State defense and the pressure late.
It's hard to be like, yeah, we turned it over because the crowd was loud. Like, yeah. That's not going to be a sure. conversation.
Jake Nielsen on X. BYU played at Allen Fieldhouse and won. BYU played at Hilton and couldn't hold on, barely. I doubt BYU sees an environment like those
they
at
will
any
not.
Stage of the NCAA tournament.
They will not.
Other than maybe the Final Four.
No. You're well, in a massive gym and no.
I'm encouraged by this team, yeah. says Jake, but the last 3 minutes of that game were painful to watch.
Yes,
the
they
last
were.
Five, BYU didn't score in almost the last
424.
Four and a half minutes.
Yeah. Yes. But look, BYU does not play another true run game again. Yeah. They play home Oklahoma State in Kansas City neutral. Granted, there will be some good crowds from some of the Midwest schools for sure. Iowa State, Kansas stick out, right? Will the Houston crowd show up? We'll see who BYU plays exactly. Like, will the Texas Tech homies show up more than the BYU homies? I'm interested to see what BYU fans do in Kansas City, by the way. Challenge given. Let them know Pioneer Settlement Theory, right, that I've talked about. Like, you show up, annoy the locals.
Yes.
Because, whoa, where'd all these people come from? They came from all over the country because that's what BYU does.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. I would love BYU to see Iowa State and Kansas City, but they're going to be on opposite sides of the bracket most likely. It would take a championship game appearance, but we're weirdly a bad matchup for Iowa State.
Who is BYU a good matchup for? Nobody.
It's unbelievable.
Houston, it came down to the wire with Houston.
BYU is a bad matchup for basically everyone.
I love it. Number 20, men's basketball hosts Oklahoma State. Regular season finale, senior day. Pregame coverage, 8 Eastern, Saturday night on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, ESPN's Sean Farnham joins the program to figure out where exactly it went wrong for BYU against Iowa State, maybe how they can shore that up, and what's the best potential matchup for BYU at the Big 12 tourney in Kansas City. This is BYU Sports Nation.
He knocks it down! He got it! The reverse! Victorious! The Cougs have won it!
Which was not the case last night.
We wish they did
last night. So close! We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. It is time now for one of our favorite weekly segments on the show where we welcome an elite college basketball analyst for ESPN. Sean Farnham is back on BYUSN. Sean, so close for BYU last night. So we're going to dive into the details of that. But first and foremost, what's on your mind right now, man? How you doing?
I'm just doing great. I mean, I'm just happy to be back with you guys. I'm keep looking at my watch and keep going, you know what? I'm going to be in Vegas for the WCC tournament tomorrow. Then I'm going to be in Kansas City all week long for the Big 12 tournament. Then it's Selection Sunday. This is the best time of year. It's a grind, as you guys know, but it is without question what we work for all season long. And we are in March, and that makes college basketball that much more exciting.
We'll miss you in Vegas, but we'll see you in Kansas City. That'll be a new look for BYU, obviously, and a new kind of tournament, that's for sure.
Well, the reality was, guys, I wasn't going to let a postseason go by without getting to spend time with one of you. So I begged, borrowed, and pleaded my way to the Big 12 tournament this year. So, I'm really excited to get in Kansas City. It's going to be the tournament of Champ Week. There's no doubt about it. You look at all the other conference tournaments that you're going to have around the country. The Big 12 tournament is going to be the marquee event. It's going to be wild. I think it's going to be fun. I know there's going to be a bunch of BYU fans there. Certainly, you're going to see a filled arena. It's not going to feel like the Orleans. It might feel a little bit bigger, just saying.
Yeah, certainly so. BYU was hoping that just maybe they might get the double bye in Kansas City at the aforementioned Big 12 tournament. And frankly, if they had beaten Iowa State last night, we're in position to do so. So, Sean, let's talk about the dynamics of that game. Where did it go wrong for BYU in the second half?
Well, they didn't score for like the final 4 minutes of the game. That makes things a little bit challenging when you're on the road. And then just how many empty possessions. I believe it was like 24% of their possessions that they had in the course of the game ended with a turnover. They had 17 turnovers in the game. That is exactly what Iowa State does. They force you to play faster than you want. Dallin Hall dribbling the ball out of bounds late in that game when it's a three-point contest or two-point contest, I believe, at the time. You know, those are things that can't happen in those moments when you're trying to win on the road. They did not happen in Allen Fieldhouse. They did happen last night, which is why when I came on the program last week before the game at Kansas, I said that I thought that this game would be tougher than the one at Kansas. Now, both were incredibly tough games. One was a huge win. One was a close loss. But I think if you're BYU, you're going to leave there and go, guys, we shot like 23%, 26% in the second half of that game. We played really well in the first half. We had a lot of good looks that just did not go down in the second half, in particular from beyond the arc. We're better than that. And I think that they'll feel that way. I mean, Foose traveling as he brings the ball up the floor in a one-point game. Like, can't have those. You cannot have empty possessions against a team that's as talented as Iowa State. You give them more possessions, you give them more looks, they're gonna wear you down. And it's a wear-down impact, not just because of how they defend you and how physical they are, but it's also a wear-down about how they operate at the offensive end of the floor, how physical they are at that end. They make you feel them at both ends of the floor. And I think that over the course of that game last night, I thought BYU wore down.
The good news is that's the last true road game BYU plays the rest of the season. They're playing Oklahoma State at home. They're in Kansas City. Granted, if BYU lines up with Kansas somehow, it's sure going to feel like a road game. But BYU felt good about the win a couple weeks ago, but it'd be a tough game.
Don't underestimate Iowa State's fans. They're going to absolutely pack Kansas City. That fan base travels there. It will feel like a road game there. It may not be a true road game, but it will feel like one. I think you look back, and obviously one game still remaining, and it is a must-win game for BYU. They have to win this game against Oklahoma State. They owe Oklahoma State something, and they got to take care of business on their home floor coming up this weekend. But I think it'd be interesting to get your guys' thoughts. I mean, I know you're interviewing me, and that's how this normally works, but how would you grade out the first season in the Big 12, first regular season of Big 12 basketball for this group? And then I will tell you what I think and what Dave Fleming and I have been talking about the last couple of weeks as we've gotten together and called games in the West Coast Conference and our conversations about BYU as we talk about the broader picture of college basketball. But for both of you, let's start with Jarom. Jarom, what would you think grade out the first Big 12 season?
Spectacular. Part of that is because of it's way above expectation. You had a similar group to last year. You bring in Ali Khalifa and essentially Trevin Neal. And BYU was way above what we thought. We were hoping for 6 wins. They're probably going to get, you know, up to 10 here, which is crazy. So I would say like an A+. Like, BYU's not contending for the Big 12 title in year one, but good gosh, if they get the 5 seed, that's amazing.
Yeah, Sean, let me add this. BYU's going to likely, if they beat Oklahoma State and if Houston beats Kansas on Saturday, BYU will finish ahead of Kansas in the seeding for the Big 12 tournament and finish 5th. That alone is worth an A+. So, yeah, big picture, this has been incredible. Fans by nature are just, they're greedy, right? They just want more. It's like, oh, I should have won that game at Iowa. I should have won that game at Texas Tech. Overall, I think this has been an A+ with a chance to finish above Kansas in year one. That's just wild to me.
Yeah, the only thing that disappoints me, and you guys might remember this, I said in Las Vegas in November after watching this team, I thought they were going to be an 11-win team in the Big 12.
Yes, you did.
Okay, that was in November. I'm off by one game.
And that one and game, I thought you were nuts. I still think you're nuts.
And yet here we are. I mean, and very easily, by the way, it could have been 12 wins.
I know.
Very easily could have been 12.
Yeah.
So I think that what this team showed was incredible grit and toughness all season long, mentally and physically, to go through the grind that is the Big 12. And I agree with you guys. And Dave Fleming and I talked about it. We're like, this is the same, basically the same group.
Yep.
That was in the WCC last year. And let's be honest, they didn't really achieve at the level in which anybody expected them to in the WCC. Now, that was a disappointment last year. This year has been an overachieving mark. And I think that it's been overachieving based on, not because they're not talented enough to do this, but overachieving based on what we had seen the previous year to what we're now seeing in a tougher conference that has elite level defenses every single night. And just the way that Mark Pope has got this team to buy in. It's not just about the effort on the court as far as how they've played and executed, but the buy-in, the collectiveness where they don't allow losses to disrupt them and turn into massive losing streaks. Very impressed with what they've been able to accomplish. And I would agree with you guys. I think they sent a message to the Big 12, and I think they sent a message to every recruit that's watching that says, hey, you want to come play a fun style of basketball? We're going to shoot threes. We're going to play fast. We're going to be aggressive. And we're going to play in front of a sold-out home crowd every single night and have one of the best environments in the Big 12. Now, this is BYU basketball. And I think that message has been delivered on a much larger scale than even what it was at the WCC or prior to that, obviously, the Mountain West Conference. And I think that will bode well for this program, not just now, but also moving forward for years to come.
It's wild that BYU was the 5 seed in the WCC tournament last year. and they very well could be the 5 seed in the Big 12 tournament. That's crazy.
Well, no. All that proves to you is that the WCC is on equal standing with the Big 12, and we don't understand what everybody's talking about.
We've tried not to crap on the WCC because, you know, they were so
Santa
good
Clara
to BYU.
And San Francisco are exactly the same as Iowa State and Baylor. I don't get this. What are we talking about?
What's weird is, and maybe it's not weird, and this is sort of the mantra of the athletic department, is like they've waited a long time to compete at a higher level on a national stage, and BYU has answered that, in men's basketball specifically. Football has some work to do. They feel like, hey, they're turning a corner, they're going to get better. Other sports have done really, really well. Soccer, obviously, and women's volleyball and whatnot.
Cross country,
amazing, right? This is a running school.
Look at me with my knowledge of BYU.
One of us. But that BYU is going to go into the Big 12 tournament. Now, what's the minimum threshold for success? Because we've basically agreed that BYU needs to win at least one game. If they go one and done, that's disappointing. Certainly two would be awesome, but at least one win is what they need probably to maintain a 5 with Lunardi, we think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you beat Oklahoma State this weekend, you win one game in Kansas City, I think you're more than fine as far as maintaining your position. A lot of it will obviously depend about what's going on around the country, too. I mean, Joe, at the end of the Gonzaga-St. Mary's game, had Gonzaga as a 9 seed. Now he has them as a 7 seed. Last time I checked, they haven't played since Saturday night, unless I missed something. There's going to be a lot of moving parts. And that's not poor on Joe Lunardi. That's just the fact that, you know, you re-crunch numbers, you continue to look and see what, other teams are doing around the country. You continue to look at metrics and the net rankings and all of those things. The metrics really love BYU. That's going to favor them a ton. Road win at Kansas, only team in the country to win a game inside Allen Fieldhouse. That's going to carry some weight with the selection committee. I think their work is almost done. I would tell you that they might not even have to win a game in Kansas City to maintain their position, as long as they take care of business on Saturday, just because of how significant that road win is. A quad 1A win. That is important. And, you know, out of the norm of what you'd anticipate for a team that's making its first year, show up to Allen Fieldhouse and go ahead and win in that environment. But you cannot underestimate the value of that win, in particular to the selection committee's eyes. And that will be discussed when every time they bring up BYU, they're going to go, they wanted Allen Fieldhouse. Nobody else has done that. Well, they didn't have Kevin McCullough. Well, they didn't have Kevin McCullough for other games, and they won those games.
Yes.
Inside Allen Fieldhouse. So let's not diminish it too much here. That was a significant win. I think it's going to bode very well for BYU.
Sean Varnum of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. Sean, over the past couple of weeks, we've obviously been projecting about what BYU could potentially face in Kansas City if percentages hold out. And I feel like, all things considered, if BYU is the 5 seed and Texas Tech is the 4 seed, if BYU can get past that first round, that to me feels like and I use this word lightly, favorable matchup for BYU, because they'll be motivated from what happened in Lubbock, and they avoid playing Baylor, and they avoid playing Kansas in Kansas City. Is Texas Tech the best potential second-round matchup for BYU if it holds that way, or is there somebody else that you like the Cougars matching up with?
No, it is. I mean, it is. And I think what we've seen all the season long is that BYU matches up with everybody in this conference, with maybe the exception of Houston. You know, but even that Houston game at home was a highly competitive game for a majority of that contest. I don't think Baylor scares BYU. I don't think that Iowa State, especially even after last night going into Hilton Coliseum and like taking the loss, like, okay. Like, does it scare BYU?
Yeah.
No. And by the way, they also now have felt Iowa State, and they have felt the loudness of the crowd. I don't think environment is going to be an issue in Kansas City. I think the key is twofold. And we've been harping on this for the last couple of weeks, guys. Defensively sustaining stops, which I thought they did a pretty good job of even last night, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And then offensively, if the three-point shot isn't falling, what else can you do? Mm-hmm. And last night in the second half, they could not hit a three-point shot. I think 2 of 15, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, now you got to downshift, and you got to be able to, have composure, not turn the ball over, and then be able to execute your offense and find either a different look or a better look. And I thought that last night they struggled down the stretch of that game scoring when the three-point shot wasn't going down. So as essential as that's been to their success, and they're not here in this moment without the three-point shot. So when fans listen to this, don't think that I'm saying don't shoot the three. I know who BYU is. I know what they want to do. And that's how they've gotten here. And you don't want to deviate too much from that plan. But there's been other games, again, they've gotten to the free throw line and they've been just as physical as any team in this conference. And they've gotten the line 40 times. Well, that's how you win games. That's how you grind out games sometimes when it's tight. And in particular in March, and the pace of the game slows down a little bit. And I think that'll be important for BYU, not just in the Big 12 tournament, but looking ahead after Selection Sunday into the NCAA tournament.
BYU gave up the exact amount of points per possession, 0.958, which is a good number, to Kansas and Iowa State. The difference was execution down the stretch for BYU. Let's finish with this. What's your top five right now in the Big 12?
Colton, throw it up on the screen for everybody at home so
Let's
they can take a look
go.
At it. I love Colton, by the way. Your guys' producer is awesome.
He's great.
All right, but I think at the top, you got to start with Houston. The Houston Cougars have been just so strong. Even with some of the injuries, I think that adds a little bit of concern, not just in the Big 12 tournament, but obviously moving past that. But I would certainly say that the Houston Cougars would be number one for me. I think Iowa State is going to be number two. I think that just what they are able to do at the defensive end of the floor, they can be so disruptive. They're so aggressive. And then Baylor is getting better. Their defense, still a question mark, but they are improving. I think they would be at the three spot. I have Texas Tech at the four, and then I have BYU at the five spot. And I think that BYU has earned that spot. I think that Kansas has labored down the stretch. I anticipate that Kansas will lose that game this weekend against Houston. At Houston, a little bit of a payback for that game that was in Allen Fieldhouse. And then that would be your top five seeds, by the way, right there on your screen. That's how it would look when you get to Kansas City.
That is unbelievable.
I never imagined that at the end of the season that Kansas wouldn't be there. But, no, you're right. Everything you said, spot on.
Sean, it's great to talk to you, man.
Hold up. Oh, here, are you questioning that what I say on this show on a weekly basis isn't spot on? Is that what I'm to take from what you just said?
The possibility exists that it may not be.
That hurts me. I may not join you now in Kansas City. Spencer, are you coming to Kansas City?
No.
Hey.
Okay, so here's what I would say. I think we need Colton. We need to remove Jerem from going to Kansas City. We need to replace him with Spencer because two parts. Okay, one is Jerem just insulted me and has made me feel as if I've been devalued on this program. But the other part is I believe that Spencer was in Allen Fieldhouse for the most significant win
that
in Kansas. Kansas, maybe he's the good luck charm that needs to be there and not Jerem. That's all I'm saying.
We don't operate out of just chance here. I don't know if you knew that.
Hey, Sean, I would love to be with all of you guys there. Duty calls back here in Provo for sure. And, I mean, you get it.
Tyson just better get me a cougar tail one way or another.
Either way.
To bring a cougar tail.
Yeah.
Figure out something good luck. For Sean. Let's go. Hey, we appreciate the insight as always, and I mean it genuinely.
It was mostly spot on, Sean. Nice work.
Thank you.
I mean it genuinely when I say this is one of the favorite things that we do on the show. Thanks, Sean.
No worries. I'll see you guys from Kansas City. Next week, I'll be standing next to Jerem somehow, some way, at some location.
Don't insult Sean. See you, Sean.
Someone's got to keep Sean in check, and apparently it's me.
Well, he keeps you in check too, right?
Absolutely.
You guys been throwing jabs at each other?
Checks and balances, exactly. Season finale of BYU Basketball with Mark Pope is tonight. It's Thursday, so it's tonight. Foos on the show. Let's go. 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
After the break, a very early, maybe even earlier, signing day for college football. Is this a good move? We'll discuss that and more on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This year program is on social media. You can follow us for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Are you beginning a little back and forth like you have with Dennis now with Sean? Have we entered that stage?
I don't know what it is. He just wants to rumble. Let's go. No, I love it. Someone's got to keep him in check, and someone's got to keep me in check. Let's go.
All right, let's check in with today's headlines.
Number 20, men's basketball, lost 68-63 at number 6 Iowa State last night. BYU came out hot, led by 11 at halftime by as many as 14 in the second half. Didn't score the last 424. Archie Saunders had 20 points to lead the Cougs, tied a career high. BYU 21-9 now, 9-8 in the Big 12. 12th in net, 16th in KenPom, still looking great. Cougars in the regular season Saturday, senior night, against Oklahoma State.
BYU softball begins their Big 12 era today when they host Texas Tech at Gale Miller Field.
Go.
Cougars are 14-4 on the season. Texas Tech 17-4.
What a matchup.
Tech was picked to finish 6th. BYU picked to finish 7th. Love this. You can watch the game live 5 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. I'll be on the call with Taylee Williams. We'll chat with the superstar Violet Zavodnik in just a few minutes.
She's on the show every year. I love it. Baseball opens Big 12 play on the road today at West Virginia, 3 Eastern on BYU Radio and Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Cougars have a season-high 4-game win streak. They are 6-5 overall.
BYU women's tennis hosting Kansas State today in a Big 12 match. Cougars ranked number 37. K-State ranked number 65 because, you know, they rank like the top 100.
Yeah.
Cougars have won 6 straight matches heading into today. A little underrated, budding, nice team they got
like
going
it.
There.
And BYU football announced this year's alumni game is going to be on Friday, March 22nd at 8 Eastern. We knew that part, but we know it's officially going to be at the old Provo High football field. They have a name for it now. It's West Campus Field.
Okay.
Gates will open at 7 Eastern, and the game will be streamed live on BYU TV. It's been a lot of fun the last couple weeks.
Let's do it. Let's get now to the Big 12 roundup. Yeehaw! Wrapping up last night's Big 12 basketball games.
Okay, number 1, Houston beat UCF 67-59. This was a close game. Houston ends up winning it by 8. LJ Cryer, 25. Jamal Shedd had 16.
Oh, Houston won a close game? That's weird.
8th straight win for the Cougars in red. Houston locks up at least a share of the Big 12 regular season title with the win. They host Kansas. They can win outright on Saturday. And TCU beat West Virginia 93-81. Emmanuel Miller, Jameer Nelson Jr. scored a combined 38. TCU wins despite Jesse Edwards, the big man for West Virginia. Scored 36 in that one.
Holy wow. cow. All right, let's look at the standings, shall we? BYU now in the number 6 spot after the loss at Iowa State. And with Tech winning and Kansas winning earlier this week, they are tied for 4th. But Kansas has to play at Houston. Tech has to play against Baylor. And BYU gets Oklahoma State. If percentages hold out, BYU should be a top 5 team when the dust settles going into Kansas.
Kansas loss, BYU win equals 5 seed.
100%.
Because BYU owns the tiebreaker against Kansas and TCU. Let's go.
And then BYU could match up with Texas Tech if they could just get past that first round.
Yep.
Let's go. Some vengeance after what happened in Lubbock, potentially. Those are today's headlines. Now we whip it. Presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
The Athletic's Nicole Auerbach, who's been on the program, among others, reported that the college football early signing period in December could move up from the end of December to the Wednesday before the conference championship games. Your thoughts?
I think this is a terrible move. Why? Why complicate something that's already becoming increasingly complicated? I just feel like it's too early. Like, it's distractions. It's distractions for teams getting ready for the most important time of the year if you're a good team.
But there are January enrollees, so when are you going to have signing day? Because you have to have one before January.
Before the week before the bowl games? Not before the conference championship games. Like, that just feels too
like
early
December.
To me.
So first week of December instead of the third
second,
week?
Second. Like, I'd say the second week of December, but not the first week of December.
So right after the champion?
Yes.
Between bowl games?
Yes.
It is tricky because you're still playing. Yet you got to recruit. I don't know what the good answer is.
I think it's just too early to me. Like, well, at least a week too early. Like,
just do it middle of the season.
May as well.
November 7th.
Direction we're going. Yeah. Joey Chestnut won a 3-on-1 eating contest at halftime. He's the hot dog king. You know that guy.
American hero, Spencer.
This was during the Cavs-Celtics game the other night. He ate 39 pierogies.
I don't even know what a pierogi is. What is that?
He did it in 2 minutes. Okay, so if the both of us teamed up with the Cougar Tail kid, who's become famous this season in Provo, could the three of us beat Joey Chestnut in a Cougar Tail eating contest?
No, Cougar Tail kid would rep, but you and I wouldn't produce anything. We're not taking on Joey Chestnut, who's the food version of George Washington in this country.
No, Joey Chestnut, like, it would be 3-on-1. There'd be 3 of us and him, and he would probably eat 3 times as many Cougar Tails as the 3 of us combined.
I don't want to compete in eating. I am a slow eater. I want to enjoy my food, dang it.
It's not happening. Up next, BYU softball star Violet Zavodnik is back in Studio B to preview the beginning of the Big 12 era with the Cougars' home opener against Texas Tech. Oh, she's ready. She looks so astute.
She's going yard today. She's going yard today.
Karma's a real thing.
Calling it.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
She wants 3, a triple. Zavodnik is stealing. Nobody's there. Zavodnik's got a stand-up double. And so Bondic tees off. Get out of town.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's game day and the Big 12 home opener for BYU softball. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. As promised, we now welcome in longtime star for
the softball. She's a regular on the show, baby.
Violet Zawodnik is back in Studio B. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Let's talk about the fashion now, a.k.a. the glasses.
The glasses, yeah.
Okay, the eye, you need glasses, but you've chosen, like, grandmother glasses.
Yeah.
Talk to us about this.
I don't know. I just love the style. Like, any other glasses I feel look weird, but, I mean, I am a senior, so I kind of am a grandma,
yes.
So it kind of goes
with
it.
You set the tone, Violet. Like, you deserve the right to be like, no, these are cool.
These are cool. No, yeah,
everybody
agree.
Else should wear these.
Exactly.
We were joking with you during the break, but you were like, no, I legitimately go to sleep at 9-something.
You eat dinner at 4:45.
Exactly.
Practice
ends. I go eat dinner, do a couple of homework assignments, and then I'm in bed by 9:30.
You're about that life.
Yes.
Are you asking for discounts? They're like, you're not a senior. You're like, I am a senior.
I
don't know what you're talking about.
Is there a senior citizen discount?
Leave the citizen part out of it.
There should be a senior discount.
A senior discount.
I agree.
Okay, you've been around a hot minute, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling in terms of health? Because I know you weren't fully healthy last year. And hey, you're in the Big 12 now. Let's go.
I think I feel so much better this year. This goal this year is to maintain healthy.
Yes.
Because I feel like I couldn't catch a break last year.
It was so crazy.
I've been doing a bunch of treatment, a bunch of workouts, working nonstop all the summer, even now. So, that's the main goal this year is to stay healthy, which I feel really good right now. And plus, it's Big 12. Now it's, last season, best season, kind of going in, playing the best of the best.
Love it.
Super excited for
it. This is another new challenge for BYU softball. So, this will be 5 conferences in 13 years that BYU has participated in.
Hey, nomadic until now.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
5 conferences in 13 years. It's obviously a step up. You've been really just the queens of whatever conference you've played in before, right, Violet? Mm-hmm. Now you're picked to finish 7th. So how has that been mentally for you going into a conference where you are not the clear favorite?
Mm-hmm. I think it just pushes us because in the WCC, you kind of already know that, it's going to be one of us or LME or, one of those top teams. So, going to the Big 12 where we're in a league with Oklahoma and Texas, who are obviously the top teams, and so it's you want to be able to beat those teams. So it kind of pushes us and pushes me mentally and physically that now it's we're going to do it. We're going to achieve it. We're going to shock people because people don't believe in us because they have never seen us play. So now it's now we're here and be ready for BYU.
So the fear of, the perception is that our conference isn't good enough and we don't make the NCAA tournament as an at-large, that goes away, right? You have the opportunity mm-hmm. to play tough enough games.
Exactly. Now it's just us and now we can just focus on going out every game and taking every game at a time, doing one at a time, and just going and playing to the best of our abilities and just hope that that takes us far.
How does it feel to be home?
Oh, you know? So amazing.
Right? It's always a deal for softball because you travel so much early in the season. And frankly, I know there's rain that's happening right now.
Boo-hoo. They went to Hawaii. That was awesome.
That was
last
awesome.
Year was Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it should be manageable when you get to game time at 3 Mountain today. So,
A little rainy today.
For those that aren't familiar with, what you have to go through, what's that like as you navigate, the first 5 weeks of the season and then finally get to come home?
I mean, it's very tough. You have to manage, school. You have to manage just taking time to rest and recover and a bunch of those things. So, it's a lot of toll on mental and physical and all those things, which kind of sucks. But, being with my team and my coaches and then also my family travels to majority of all the games.
Oh, so that's great.
Love I get it. To see them and then just be around people I love kind of just helps out.
You know what I love about Violet, too? She's, one of the first to every BYU football game. Ultimate supporter.
Oh,
the softball
that's
team.
That's great.
You're there so early. Yeah. Saving
hey, football.
Softball and gymnastics. You team up and are elite bands.
Football, you better do the same thing for softball.
But, come on.
Okay?
Please.
When you don't have practice, you better be over there. Okay, which of these is the best for you right now? You're hitting .460, 6 homers, 6 doubles, 2nd in ribbies, 1st in slugging. What do you like out of all this?
I actually love the doubles.
Mm.
So me and my sister this year, we kind of went a goal. We wanted 50-50-50, so 50 stolen bases, 50 home runs, and 50 doubles. And my double category is not high enough. So obviously, I can steal and I can hit home runs. But right now, the doubles are, what for me, what I like the most.
Look at you. 50-50. I like the idea of that. That's awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic. Violet Zvodnik is with us on BYU Sports Station. I say, Grandma Zvodnik. No, we kid. You mean so much to this team. There are several new faces on this squad and some that come in from the transfer portal and some freshmen. So who are some of those new faces that BYU fans need to be aware of if they haven't watched you play and now you open up Big 12 play?
I think everybody. Everyone that we've got has, like, impacted the team for the better. Like, all our pitchers, so we have G and Kate. They're literally absolutely amazing, and they're sweethearts. They're just so, they're so young, so it's also like they're so new to it. We have Abby, a catcher.
Grandma Zvodnik, they're so young. And
they're so
spry.
Young, but in reality, they're like, what, 3 years younger
than me? You're so much older than them.
No, exactly. But like Abby, our catcher, too, and we have like Lindsay. We just have so many people that have transferred in, and like they've made an impact, and they're so good. Like, no matter what, like, if you just watch us, you'll watch everyone impact, whether they're on the field or they're playing. Like, we all have a role. And, like, we all just play, and it's just so fun to watch all of us.
And so far, so good. 14-4, and Big 12 play begins today with Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Obviously, getting to the NCAA Regional again is the goal.
Yes.
How are you feeling about what you've done so far, and now you begin conference play?
I think we've gone so far. Like, we're doing so good right now, and it's right now for the team, we've been all in. We've been pulling the same rope. Like, we have a little motto. It says, row the boat. Like, we row it together. Mm-hmm. Like, if you see boys in the boat, like,
yep,
you row that boat all together. You guys aren't just individuals. We're a team. And so I think being this team, that it's just all of us are together. We're all pulling the rope. No one is pulling the opposite way. It kind of helped us and, like, shows that if we win as a team, we can achieve our personal goals as well. So why not just focus on the team and then go from there?
Row the boat, mm-hmm, with Violet Zvodnik. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma. You know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on the program several times. You've benefited from the karma.
You're going yard today.
Let's make it happen.
It's
again.
Happening.
Okay.
You might as well just make it season long.
Don't be surprised when it happens. Just be like, yeah, I've been here before.
I'll point up and I'll be like, this is
going to be an NCAA tournament team, Violet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel strongly about this.
Let's go.
This is gonna be a tournament team.
Me too.
Okay. We'll see you at the field.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, BYU, Texas Tech, Big 12 opener. First Big 12 game ever at Miller Park. Let's go. 5 Eastern, Big 12 now on ESPN Plus for softball tonight.
Up next, it's Top 5 Thursday. As we look at the top 5 wins of the BYU men's basketball season, this is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's time for Top 5 Thursday, ranking the top 5 wins of the BYU men's basketball season to date.
Number 5, Texas. BYU was 2-4 in Big 12 play at the time. Needed a win bad. Got it. 84-72. BYU shot 75% from 2, 64% overall. Jackson Robinson, Noah Waterman, 17 apiece. Foose had 16. Much needed quad one win. Now quad one, by the way, the last couple days for the Cougs.
Texas is number 5. That tells you the quality of this list.
Yep.
Number 4, San Diego State. The Aztecs are projected 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. Well, BYU got him at the Marriott Center in Provo. Dallin Hall, of all people, ladies and gentlemen, had 18 points in that game.
Of course
he was huge in that game, so stop with that. Also,
are you yelling at Cougar Board?
Just people that don't understand how important he is. All right. Early season, BYU got into the top 25, by the way, after this win.
And they've been there most of the time, right? Number 3, Baylor. BYU beats number 11, Baylor, 78-71 a couple of weeks ago, coming off a disappointing loss at Oklahoma State. Ali Khalifa, 14.7 assists. The Cougars hit 14 threes.
Number 2, Iowa State. BYU beat the Cyclones in Provo by 15. Almost swept the season. Good grief. Spencer Johnson had 28 points. Remember that? In the win over the Cyclones. 87-72 victory. It's still the most points Iowa State's given up this season and the largest margin of defeat they've had since Iowa State has gone 11-2 and now climbed to number 6 in the AP poll.
And number 1, Wyoming. No, just kidding. At Kansas. Last week, unranked at the time. Tuesday, BYU goes in, beats number 7 Kansas, ends the 19-game home win streak, hit 13 threes. First unranked team to beat Kansas at home since 2017.
Remind me, was Dallin Hall good in that game, Jerem?
He wasn't good. Oh. He was great.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Our question of the day. How are you feeling about BYU's frustrating loss to Iowa State? Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX comes in healthcare elevated. It's at Y for Life 1984 on X, who says, not upset, but disappointed because the opportunity was there. To the fans that are upset, BYU lost a close game on the road to a top 10 team. If we are complaining about last night's loss, we're being spoiled right now. This has been a great season, and it's not over. Go Cougs.
Let's go. I agree.
Our today's Rise of Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Dawson Baker got engaged.
Yes,
congratulations.
Dawson!
to he and Maddie. Awesome.
Yeah, look at this picture, by the way.
Very well done.
That is elite.
Very well done.
Congrats to Dawson and Maddie for sure. Thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham and Violet Zavodnik.
Sorry, Dennis. No time. I'm out.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Taylee Williams. See you for softball at 5 Eastern. Go Cougs!